Yeah, let's just take our seats. How are you? Praise God. Okay, so we just study within the time that we have. It's not, it's a very simple topic. Something I'm sure majority of us are used to, we are accustomed to. So we'll just look again and refresh our mind. And whichever way you want to title it, but here I wrote it as Why the Epistles? Why the Epistles? Epistles, why? Why? What's so special about the Epistles? Why do we give such importance to the Epistles? Why is there so much focus? Why do we tell believers the Epistles? Why do we come to church and in a year we might not open the book of Hosea or all those other books that if I say open now, you might be struggling to find where they are, Habakkuk and the rest. Why do we always go to the Pauline epistles? Why do you always say Paul? Why do you go to the New Testament? What's so special about the epistles? So that's what we are looking at today. Praise God. I know it's not something that is strange to us. If I give Christy the mic now, Sister Queen, I'm sure she can just preach this sermon from beginning to the end. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go ahead with our study for today. But before we start, we'll just do some background introduction to facts. Just background knowledge. Historical knowledge, history, whatever you want to call it. Let's see. Now I like questions. What's the meaning of Bible? And where in the Bible can you find the word Bible? Glory. All right, let's start. He's ready to answer. If you have an answer, just tell me. We always say Bible. What's the meaning of Bible? What is Bible? And where in the Bible can we find Bible? Hallelujah. So, who do I give the microphone to? You want to answer 1A? You want to answer 1B? So, you have put both. The inspiration of God. Okay, you want to try both? Glory to God. Okay. What's my first question? It's the one that separated it, 1A. I should give to him.
Okay, I think the Bible is a compilation of books that has a central thought. I'm done, sir. It's a compilation of many books with a central message or thought. Sister Mimi can answer that.
Okay, I think the word Bible means a collection of books, and there is no place in the Bible book that you can find the word Bible. It's a name. I don't know whether it's King James that gave you that name, Shabon. It's a collection of books, religious materials.
So smart. Doing. What is the meaning of the word Bible? And where in the Bible can we find the word Bible?
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. Bible simply means books. In Latin, Biblia, and Greek, Biblios. So it just means books. There's nothing special. Because I know many persons who say Bible. They call that word so much like it was handed to God from God himself. And God said, the name of this thing in your hand shall be called Bible. Nah, but it simply means books. And what do they mean by books? Matthew is a book. Hosea is a book. Genesis is a book. Do you understand? So book, they're all books. And then the compilation of all those, that with the reason why it's plural, books, is why it's called Bible. Hallelujah. So that's why I said I want to do small history. And you know this Bible in your hand, I don't know, because now I'm seeing that many persons have different kind of Bibles. I'm hoping that the one in your hand is from Genesis to what? Malachi. And there's nothing in between. We just go to Matthew to Revelation, right? Uh-huh. Anyway, okay. So, even though we said that the Bible is a collection of books, it is not just a historical document or a documentation of facts. You know, some persons can read that one as a, it might be persons that study them. There's one course in school, then religious studies. So Bible is one of their textbooks. The same way other religions of the world and this one. So they won't study witchcraft. It's part of their, is it not a religion? So that's course. So it what makes this different from just any other kind of book that somebody has in his house? What makes it different? It's not as if the Bible is spiritual, but it is. It has words in it wherein, if properly understood, can paint the true nature of God to you, and if not properly understood, can all do the exact opposite and even worse. All right, so my next question before I start teaching in detail, is the Bible the Word of God? Please answer. These people are. Is the Bible the Word of God? So, those things that we have here now, is it the Word of God? Everything in this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So the Bible is not the Word of God. But the Bible is not the Word of God. Moses, do you agree with all these things they are saying? How can they say the Bible is not the Word of God? It is called the Holy. Where's. Holy Bible. Please, tell somebody that demons are not whispering to answer me. Is the Bible the Word of God? Please, Moses, is the Bible the Word of God? Is the Bible the Word of God? Yes. Good. Why do you say so? Because, okay, most of the words are from God, but not everything. So is this entire thing now, can we say this, everything here is the Word of God? Okay, Brother Joshua, please help us. You are the most spiritual person here. Is the Bible the Word of God? Anyway. People should not let people hear you outside, Sha. You know those days when the Bible falls like this? How do you start asking for forgiveness? Oh, Father, I'm sorry that the Bible has fallen. Oh, this one. Or the fact that How can you even step on the Bible? That is just the highest insult. You know, when you want to sleep, you just put the Bible under your pillow, and then that is God. This is the talisman. As you are seeing this now, as you, I can always use the cuts there. When you say, die, you are using your Bible like this, and you are fighting expressly. Praise God. You know, that's what we thought. That's what we grew up learning. Why? Because of that conception that this book, as you are seeing it here, is the word of God. But as we are rightly said, it's not as if when we don't just quickly go and say the Bible is not the word of God, no. Don't just go and sit outside. The Bible contains the word of God, but in this Bible, from beginning to end, is the message of God. Do you understand? So from beginning to the end of this Bible, it contains the message of God. But how do we now how do we understand fully? Because people will open the same Bible and bring forth revelations that are revelations that need laying on of hands and legs. But they will also open it and say it is what the Bible said. So it is a lack of understanding of what the Bible is, what the purpose of the Bible is, and what actually the Bible contains that have made men open Bible and just open here, take this one, merge it with this one, merge it with that one, and they've brought out sandwich from whatever they call it. It is lack of proper understanding. Once you don't understand the Bible, what it is, then your interpretation of the Bible will definitely also be flawed. Praise God. So that is why we are asking these questions, asking ourselves this question, and doing this study. Why the epistles? Okay, so we have started on the background that we should. All right, so let's continue. We have just said that the word Bible was not written specifically like Bible in the Bible. But can we get any reference? Does anybody know how the Bible, or at least the Old Testament part, was referred to? What was it called in the Bible? Are you a Greek woman? Scriptures. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Okay. Anything else? Okay. The law. Mm-hmm. Scripture and verse. Okay. All right. Praise God. Okay. Now we are. Let's continue our message now. Okay, we have said this, it was called scriptures, it was called the law, it was also referred to as the prophets, the psalms, and the rest. When you hear that, you know they were referring to the Old Testament. I'm sure we know that Paul did not have 1 Peter when he was writing his epistles. We know that, right? Paul did not have this, as this book is in your hand now, he did not have it. So what was he reading to bring out all that he said? Or you know he read to bring out his own understanding. It's not as if there was one, the heavens opened, and his earth opened, and he just saw and beheld one angel with a big book and said, Paul, this is what it is. I want to start explaining to you the mysteries of the kingdom. All right, open. You know that was nothing like that, right? Paul searched the scriptures and understood and brought out all these things that he said. So that's what we are going to be focusing on today. Why the epistles? All right, so we know that the Bible itself, from the events as Moses started writing it in Genesis, or from when Moses wrote it down to the last book, spanned a period of about 1,500 years. And between Malachi and Matthew was how many years? Focus. Leave them. How many years? The period between Malachi and Matthew? Anybody? Anyway, he's correct. So the period between Malachi and Matthew was 400 years. One whole break. Then, we are going to say one more thing or one more historical fact before we continue. Have you heard of the word canon? The Bible has been canonized, canon of scriptures and the rest. So what does that word canon, what does it mean? So canon, what does canon mean? Moses, have you heard of canon? The canon of the scriptures. Okay? Have you heard of canon? What does it mean? I'm not saying you tell me the root word of canon. Just explain what they mean when they say the canon of scriptures. Okay? Who were those people that they decided on their own that this is what will be in the scripture and this is what will not be contained in this holy Bible? Who are those people? Entering fathers. Your father was among them. Hallelujah. She said fathers. So her father was among those persons that did that. Okay. All right. So that's just what it was. When he said the scripture was canonized, it was simply a selection of what would be included and what would be excluded. Because there are lots of books. The dead scrolls, I mean, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the lost books of Moses, this one, the book of Baruch, the book of Balaam, the book of this one, Judith. Very plenty. So, and those persons decided that these ones do not have a place in the inheritance of the Holy Bible. Why? Well, Jude, what was the basis for that extinction? Okay, what's your own answer?
Based on the Old Testament. No, just like there is a thread from the Old Testament that it should follow. Just from the Old Testament.
But it is not just New Testament books that were not included. There are also some Old Testament or in quote scriptures, writings that happened before Jesus was born that also was not included. You know, all those Tobias and Judith and the rest, they were happenings in the Old Testament. Even lost chapters of Esther, you see some other places that were not included. So it was both old and new, whatever that was decided, what should be there. And as we rightly said, there was a particular reason why that was done. And the yardstick, canon simply means like a measuring stick, the yardstick, what are we going to use? What will be the demarcation? What will be our line to use in deciding what should be and what shouldn't be? And of course, the whole focus was that the Bible itself has a central theme. A central focus from Genesis down to Malachi. There was if you read the Bible with an unbiased with a free mind, an open mind, if you read from Genesis to Malachi, you would know that it kept talking about somebody that was going to come. Somebody was going to come, right? If you just read it like that, without any special somebody coming to interpret it to you, that's what you will understand, that it was already talking about somebody coming. Meaning that from Genesis down, it was talking about salvation. The whole concept of salvation, how man will be saved. That is why Genesis 1 to 3, it's a very fundamental reason why if you miss it in Genesis 1 to 3, you might miss it throughout. Because then you will not understand why there was a need to be saved in the first place. So if you understand fully the events of Genesis 1 to 3, chapter 1 to 3, then you understand that, okay, this is what happened, this was the original, this is what happened, and this is what needs to be done for this whole thing to come back in place. Do you understand? So all through, the prophets kept talking, everybody was talking about salvation. Now, if you bring your book, it doesn't have any And also, the apostles quoted a lot, even in their writings. So many, if they quoted and referred to something, then of course it was deemed important and necessary. But even then, the Jews already had their own canon. They already had the ones that they referred to themselves as their own scriptures. So from Genesis to Malachi, it was their own accepted fashion. Then, of course, the New Testament portions were the ones that were added by the fathers, according to him. Praise God. All right, so that is why it was officially recognized as such. And that is also the reason why, first of all, before we proceed, you must value this one that you have in your hand. We will not say that so the Bible is not complete. These other ones should be added. This one should be added. This one, because maybe you go and read the description, say, but this one also referred to Christ. Now, why was it not included? Please, I know we are knowledgeable beings. I know we have plenty knowledge. Just limit that knowledge, first of all, to the canon of scriptures. Praise God. I know that the Holy Spirit in you is, in fact, your own Holy Spirit is just vast. It is very, very wide. It wants to, this thing is too small for it. Genesis to Malachi is too small now. It wants more. I know the Spirit wants more. The Spirit in you wants more. But when the Spirit wants to go, please take the Spirit back again to Genesis. Oh, Jude, do you hear me? Did you hear me? So when that Spirit wants to explore, take it back again to where? Exactly. So limit yourself to this thing that we have. Esteem it as such that this is actually the Word of God to us. Praise God. All right, let's start our study now. It's now we want to start. All those ones were introduction. All right. So we talked about the fact that the Bible has a central theme. There was a particular message contained in the Bible from beginning to the end. And what was that? All right. First Peter 1. Okay, are we there? First Peter 1 from verse 7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Praise God. So Peter was saying, this he called it the prophets. The prophets were writing, they did not understand what they were actually writing. They were writing and they kept searching, they kept inquiring, they kept trying to understand what is actually this salvation we are talking about. But even to them, they were told that, write it down. It is not for you, it is for those who will come later, which is us. Hallelujah. All right, so what Peter was talking about, of whose salvation the prophets did, which was the Holy Ghost, which was in them, this signified. The prophets searched and inquired diligently, and that was what they wrote down to us. So all that the prophets said was concerning salvation. Okay? All right, so we are going to move on now to where we started from, is the Bible, the Word of God, and that the Bible contains the Word of God. Okay, 2 Peter 2, this is where, when you want to tell people that you say the Bible is not the Word of God, they will take you to 2 Peter 2. Okay? Chapter 1, verse 20. Are we there? Second Peter 1, there, Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So you see persons taking that, this, it was not just men that were speaking. They were, I was supposed to clarify that. You know, Peter said, the Holy Spirit, in the first one we read, Peter said the Holy Spirit in them did signify. We know that the Holy Spirit did not indwell any man, right? Until Acts 2. So it was not as if he was saying that the Holy Spirit was in them, saying rather exactly what he said here. Holy men of God speak as they were moved. It means that, you know, when your mind is subject to an external influence, do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is what you are saying is not something that you thought about or you know, if I say write a story now, you can just sit down and let your imagination run wild. Then some persons that are romance fans will just be writing how they were in distress and the knight in shining armor just came and saved them and they lived happily ever after. You know, the other ones that like horror will do their own. Everybody will just be writing according to how they want their own. In fact, you can say you just write what you know can never happen in this life. But since they gave you a blank check, write a story that it is in your own word, you can decide to write anything you like. Abi, that is not what was happening here. It's not as if the prophets decided to just be writing what they wanted. Because it would have been funny if the men were trying to write what they wanted. Moses did not meet Elijah. Elijah did not meet Habakkuk. Habakkuk did not meet Jonah. But men in different times, different stations of life, over 1,000 years, just kept writing the same thing. How? So it's either they were getting one source, or it was the same men that were reincarnating and coming back again. So which one is it? So once what you are getting, what's the inspiration is coming from one source, that is why your message will be the same. Praise God. As in, out of the persons that wrote the Bible, some of them were illiterate, some were prophets, some were kings, some were noblemen, some were different stations of life. So it was not the respect of persons that you could not say, okay, this one just had an active imagination. No, there was something more at play here. That was why Peter said, the Bible came not of private origin, but men spoke as they were inspired, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you've said that. We said, okay, this Bible is inspired by God. All scripture, okay, let's read that. So that's just 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So this is another scripture that is quoted and like, it is God that inspired everything written in the Bible. Now that scripture there was not necessarily talking about everything as in the writing. It was simply saying the scripture as you have it, this that you have a book in your hand, that you have this collection of materials to inquire and read from, is an inspiration of God. Do you understand? For example, my pastor just gave this example then, and I could relate to it because I function in that capacity. You know, when you're writing, you're a secretary in an organization, and they say write in minutes of the meeting. So while I was in Port Harcourt, that was my normal Friday meeting during our annual meeting, our weekly meeting every Friday. So we'll write it attendance, chairman, secretary, then all the board members, everybody's name is written there. Agenda, we write it, okay. We're going to read the last minute. We are going to do correction and adoption. Then these matters are rising. This one. Agenda is already there. So when we come back, me, I'm not even looking at people's faces. I was told to take minutes of the meeting. So my eyes are usually always down. Who is talking? Okay. At 4 o'clock, the chairman opened the meeting. By 4:05, we had read everything in the minute. This person made social correction. Corrections were made. This person moved that the meeting should be adopted. And this person, right? But because I had a write the minute of the meeting, I could intelligently write. If, for example, in because we're lawyers, and sometimes you can just do, how is it called? Maybe in 5 minutes, somebody just says something totally related to our agenda, and then we just start talking. We now talk about how the burial ceremony of somebody went, and we just went off course. I don't write that because it does not have any bearing, in quotes, to what we are doing. So I don't write it. I simply stick to my agenda and everything said concerning that agenda. But so when you pick up that minute, you're able to see, okay, this is what this person's discussed. This person said this at social time. So it's a record of activities. Now imagine if I just write everything, whether the ones related to the agenda or the ones that are not related to the agenda. Somebody just talks about, maybe we do a joke for 5 minutes, I write it down there. Somebody decides to excuse himself and went to we, I write it down there. And then the person did not come back in 5 minutes, I write it down again. Then the person finally decided to come in 15 minutes and then the chairman queried him, I write it down also. In fact, that I even follow the person to go and make sure that he we, and then I write it down. Imagine writing all those plenty things, both the ones related to the agenda and not related. Everything is written there, bam. This is what happened inside this whole space of time. Now, when you are coming to pick up this thing later on, what would your focus be? If, for example, you want to use the minutes as proof that in that meeting we discussed about how a particular case should be handled. When you pick up the minutes, where do you go to directly? And then from the agenda, you can go, it's at HEMA, it's 3.1, this is the agenda. Then 3.1, you see where it was discussed, down. So you focus on that and take the message and go. But if you now want to bring out another thing of how somebody sneezed, and then as he sneezed, he knocked over his nose, and then catarrh came out from him and touched every other person around him, and then the chairman went into 5 minutes lecture of table manners and everything manners, and then you now write, have you not derailed from your entire purpose? So if you don't pick up that document with something in mind or know the intention for which it was written, it's possible for you to get lost in the plenty writings. So what was inspired, or what is actually, what was the actual message? Do you understand what of course, I know we understand. So that is the message there. The message that all God was trying to talk about was salvation. So when you pick up the Bible, that is what your eyes should be searching to and fro from. If you cannot bring out salvation from tithe, if you cannot bring out the fact that God, Jesus died and resurrected, that this is the nature of God in Christ from tithe, what should you do to tithe? Just literally leave it until one day that the revelation will come unto you. No, you won't. You just, it's there. But one day the revelation, it's possible. Yeah. The revelation might come one day that in this tithe, why am I using tithe as an example? Let's focus. Because I want to actually pay her tithe. I know she has gotten a lot of money from these 2 months she was away. Praise God. Okay, so let's focus. All right, so I said God inspired the writing. So what God inspired was write it down. Because when we were doing understanding Genesis, there was a particular scripture we read about a prophet that was just writing his own. He was talking his own thing, and then all of a sudden he entered into trees and this one and that one that had no bearing whatsoever with what he was discussing from A to 2. Jesus, so it was like as somebody was just talking on his own, his mind was hijacked. Suddenly there was another A. Or maybe one angel just slapped him like, so he just wrote out and then continued again. Do you understand? So in the writing of everything, whether this thing had to do with it or whether it's not, just write it down. With time, people with the Spirit of God will come that will pick up this document and will be able to understand clearly what should be said and what should be left alone. Praise God. So that's writing, that the fact that write it down, let these things not be lost, was what was inspired of God. And in it, we can also find the things that are actually God breathed and inspired. All right, so now let's move on. Praise God. So why the epistles? Let's just do a brief demarcation. You know, the Bible itself, we said it contains salvation, Abby. Talks about the whole salvation of Christ. Now, when we divide it, no, you know, there's this Old and New Testament, that division did not happen years ago. It wasn't there at the inception of the early church. They only had the Old Testament as we know it. So, why was it called the Old Testament? I'm sure we know that by now. Abi, I don't need to dwell too much about that. Why was, we know that. Maybe if I have time, I would continue to that. All right, so how do we decipher, or how was the word of God or how was the salvation that is the message? How was it encoded in quotes in the scripture that you have? In Genesis, how do you find salvation? When you open Genesis, how do you find that, okay, this was talking about salvation? How? Remember there was a day we did one, was it workers' meeting? And pastor said everybody should do, is it seven scriptures or as many scriptures as you can from Genesis that talked about salvation, right? So you just sit down, okay, salvation, salvation, salvation. You were able to do that, of course, with the knowledge of what we have now and you understand. It's okay. Even a story as plain as Joseph, you know those stories that we used to read about that we just like reading. You know, the funny thing was, before we received understanding, our favorite part of the Bible to read used to be the Old Testament. Abby, if you know you enjoyed reading the Old Testament before, can I see your hand? If you know you still enjoy reading the Old Testament, can I see your hand? Is this the problem? So before now, the Old Testament was just like storybook. Ah, this was this David's mighty man. As you're reading, it just looked like action film. So you mean one man just killed 800 persons like, ah. So and you're just reading it. You're just excited, like, ah, this thing was just there, yeah, because you did not have purpose to read the Bible. You're just reading and reading like a storybook in your hand. But later, when did that become like, ah, that the Bible is supposed to teach me this, I'm supposed to understand this, you ran away from the Old Testament. Why? Because you could no longer see it as easily as you were thinking. Do you understand? So you just ran away. I beg, let me go and face the one that told me exactly. I don't want to just stretch my head. How can I just be reading that back cook? This, how does it relate? It does not, like the one pastor read which day. Was it Isaiah? Which one did he read? Joel. You read from Joel 1. Instead of reading from Joel 1 and Joel 2. Then before, afterwards, like the spirit of the Holy Spirit. So you now went, what is the afterwards? And then started reading from the previous chapter. And I was like, did you see Jesus there? We are so we just wanted to go and simplify our own life. But don't worry, we'll go there. That's why we understand why the epistles. But before we get there, let's look at how was salvation revealed in Genesis. You know, Genesis is called the book of the beginnings. Like they say, whatever you cannot find in Genesis is the beginning. No, we used to think that there was one life before Genesis. Or the rhema we had then was that between Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, there was as in one food dispenser that was lost. So you now have to go and look for it in the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's where you find it. What happened? Now say, okay, no, that Revelation 12 filled in the gap. That was what happened when they said there was war in heaven, and then the dragon was thrown down, and then that came to earth. That was what happened in between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So it was when it happened now, when the dragon was cast down to the earth, that was when the earth now became topsy-turvy. That was when the whole world that became tohu-bohu. That's the world was null and void, exactly. So because God cannot, what God did must be, it was perfect. That God cannot create something that was not perfect. So what God created, when the Bible says in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, it meant that in Genesis 1 verse 1, the world was already perfect. Then there was now a space. That was when the dragon now came and scattered what God did, and everywhere now became upside down. Then God now had to start creating all over again. Praise the Lord. Such rhema. Hallelujah. So let's just stick with the scripture as it is written. We know that in these books, things are not they're not obvious, but that does not mean that you should not go and explain things outside the light of what is already obvious. I hope you understand what I just said. Okay, so in Genesis 1, the book of beginnings, there was nothing outside Genesis 1, and it must be understood in the light of Christ. For further understanding, visit www.theedifyingassembly.org and click on sermons, and then click on understanding Genesis and download the entire series. Praise God. So I'll continue from there. Exodus to Deuteronomy. What? I should go and explain what has been explained before. Like, we'll move on. Exodus to Deuteronomy. So the law, that's often called the law, or as Jesus would most likely say it then, he would always say Moses, you have one that condemned you, even Moses. What was he talking about? He was not saying that Moses was physically there. He simply called it the writings of Moses. So from Exodus to Deuteronomy, we find salvation there, hidden in what we call types and shadows. So you just see it like, it's there, but it's, of course, as we've already explained what the shadow is, like in this place now, as I'm looking at this glass, I can at least see myself clearly. But if I look at this place and I'm looking at this thing here, I don't know if somebody can describe me with just this thing that they're seeing. It's people like you that have said the Holy Spirit is a woman. May God have mercy on you. So it is not easy to describe something clearly by a shadow. But if you understand with the mind of Christ, you might be able to pick out and say, okay, this was a type, this was a figure, this was what Moses was actually trying to say. Praise God. So everything, you can find the message of salvation there, but in types and shadows. Okay, no, it was not a full or accurate representation of God's plan. Everything was just portrayed in a figure or in typologies. Okay, then we have another part we call that Jesus referred to as the Psalms and the writings. You know, I'm sure Jesus quoted the Psalms a lot. So you know, if you were an Old Testament prophet and then you're just reading the Psalms, I'm sure they sung a lot of those things without understanding what they were saying. Like this one, we always sing, in the right hand of God, there are pleasures for your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And then we just assume that David was talking about the temple, that inside the temple, because they always play music, there was always joy in the temple of the Lord. So in that presence, where the ark is or whatever, there is joy. Only for you to come to the New Testament, and then Peter stood up and said, this was not talking about a physical temple. Neither was he talking about David. Rather, I was talking about Jesus. Like, how? Do you understand? So it was not just the fact that this, if you don't understand it, you will say, you just read through the entire psalm and use it to fight your enemies and pray for different things and just, you know, that's where weapons of warfare. Just go to Psalms. You will see them. Oh, Lord, arise and let my enemies be scattered. Oh, Lord, this one. Oh, Lord, you just bring out all the prayer points from Psalm, and then just be. But without full understanding, you will not realize that Psalms also was prophesying or talking about the salvation that was to come. Praise God. So even in the Psalms and Ecclesiastes, as that book that Ecclesiastes, I can pronounce it. I don't have an issue with the pronunciation of Ecclesiastes. Praise God. So Ecclesiastes and Songs of Solomon, you will find it in the midst of the writing, even in Songs of Solomon. Because I know so the only time people go to those books when they want to write toast for their weddings. People like Toyin. I know very soon we see a card, we want to see toast, we just see his banner over us, his love. Physics of Solomon, that is not the reason for that book. The book, as it is there, is also a message of salvation. Otherwise, it will not be there. Praise God. So see it as such. If you cannot bring out salvation out of that book, what should you do to the book? I know that you throw it away. It's already there. Just leave it. You will come soon when your mind is no longer carnal, when you cannot fully focus on the spiritual realities. Things will be made clearer to you. Praise God. I've said it, but I don't want to see it as anybody's toast in their card or wedding. Okay, so you now see it in the prophets. What was referred to as the prophets? Joshua to Malachi. Then you see, of course, those were the sweetest parts of the Bible. Then you just be seeing stories and stories. In the midst of those stories, in the midst of those historical accounts, in the midst of everything that the prophets were saying and how destruction will come and somebody will die and this one, it is salvation. Praise God. What they were still trying to communicate was what? If you cannot find salvation, what should you do to it? Praise God. We are making progress. Okay. All right. You know, a prophet there was referred to as someone who spoke the mind of God. That's why David was called the prophet. And all those things written there, Joshua to Malachi, they were actually words of the prophets, the apostles, everybody was kept referring to them, the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets. That was why that demarcation was there, differentiating the law and the prophets. Because the persons that were speaking spoke expressly concerning what was to come, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, or 1 Peter chapter 1. All right, then now, we'll now see the Gospels when we get to the New Testament, or what is called the New Testament portion. You know, it was divided in our Bible as New Testament. But is Matthew to John part of the New Testament? Good. Why? Give me the same chorus answer so we can move on. Like, you see why? Shelimaya is taking the answer from you. Why? Okay, scripture and verse. Hebrews words. Hebrews 8:6. Okay, open. You know, Peter was preaching. In Peter's epistle, he said you should always have an answer. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. Abi? So you should. Oh, I wanted us to read Hebrews 8:6 first. Why did you now rush the thing? I wanted us to read the Hebrews 8 so that we'll see Joshua. Okay, so Hebrews 9, verse 15. And for this cause is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. You know, it's Nigerians that Nigerians are scared of writing will, because they feel once you write will, it means you want to die. I don't know why, but that's just the mentality many Nigerians have. And so you see many court cases just because even educated men refuse to write the will. The will is not going to kill you. You can change your will. You can write the will today and keep changing it every 1 hour. It doesn't affect anybody. Do you understand? Some wills can be up to 50 years old. It will not, nothing will happen to the will, nothing will happen to you. And that will is just an empty, worthless piece of paper until the man dies. So it is when the man has died, that is where you can imagine you wrote a will and then you dropped it here and went away. You are still alive, or you traveled maybe out, and then your children saw the will and already, Ojuti saw that. Ah, so Buki wants to give me that house in Ikoyi, and I don't have a house now. Let me go to court. You now carry the will and go to court and say, see, in this will is already written there that I will get the house in Ikoyi, so I want my house in Ikoyi. Who will answer him? No, his ancestors can answer him. That is why they send people to now to ensure that you go, so that they can. You understand what I'm trying to say? But I didn't say it. No, it's just figurative. So there's nothing, no matter, even if you see it there, that this thing is going to be yours, so all this thing is yours. Until the person dies, it cannot accrue to you. That is why, as much as the prophet saw and knew that there was this so much glory that was going to come, as much as they desired and wished it, it could not happen to them because Jesus did not die. So when people ask you, why do people say the New Testament, are you not saying that the Old Testament is not part of the Bible? Are you saying we throw away the Old Testament, this one? You should know how to answer, and not just to answer with mouth, but you take them to the same scriptures and show them from the scriptures why the emphasis is on the New Testament, because everything was like a promissory note that cannot have any effect until Jesus died and resurrected. Okay, so we say that Matthew to John is not part of the New Testament because Jesus had not yet died. Rather, it was a documentation of Jesus' life and his teachings. And of course, even in that, we can still find the message of salvation. Okay, then after that, we have the book of Acts. That was also like an historical account of the development of the early church. So we talked about how the church developed, how the practices, how they evolved, all the persecution and all that. Yes, in the book of Acts, since it's part of the New Testament, right? Is it something that we can take for doctrine? Can we take the book of Acts for doctrine? Partially? Yes, partially? Mm-hmm. Why? What's your answer? Partially? Everybody do partially, partially. Nobody can give me. Once one person just give answer, everybody just start going to copy. It's no good. Be original. You can say no. You can say yes. You said no, Abby? Uh-huh. Mother, so who is answering yes? Anyway, so Acts, the book of Acts, should it qualify as doctrine? Since we say, should we just qualify as doctrine? I don't know how to. What's the answer? We are doing like this. There's a but. Okay, you know that the person that wrote the book, Sha, was not trying to teach you anything. Luke was not trying to teach anything. He was simply writing things as they happened. So Luke was like a New Testament person of, who will I describe that? Give him some credit now. This is better than Moses. Like someone that was just writing all those accounts of what happened. Like all the... He was just writing what he saw. He did not say you should learn or not learn. Anyway, so that book was simply an account. It was simply telling you this is what was happening, this is what was happening, this is what was happening at so time. He was not writing it to teach you doctrine. He wasn't writing it to say that because this happened in the early church, this is actually what how church should be or how church should be practiced. No, that was not why Luke wrote it. Luke simply wrote an account of all that happened and how the church evolved. If you're going to pick doctrine from there, then it must be with the same measurement you use in picking doctrine from the Old Testament. If you cannot find it there aligning with the purpose of why the scriptures are written, what do you do to it? Don't throw it away. Okay. All right. So we are gradually coming to where we are, our focus for today. So after Acts, we have the epistles. Glory to God. So the epistles are letters, as we all know, letters written to individuals, letters written to churches, and letters just written to a group and collection of persons, mostly the church. It was addressing particular issues in some cases. It was giving instruction to some other cases. It was addressing or it was just conveying a particular message. Okay. All right. Now, are the epistles doctrines? Should we take everything in the epistles hook, line, and sinker? Okay, Joshua, let's us do our final categorization, Revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So that one is a book that is a vision. It's not an epistle, so you're not grouping to the epistle. It's a vision. That one also has to be interpreted. If you cannot interpret it, leave it alone. Okay, so what was our topic again today? Wait, Tony, what was our topic today? Why the epistles? I don't know. They're their brother's keeper. Okay. So we're looking at why the epistles. That's where our whole focus. We have been doing this journey to come to this conclusion. Why do we always tell men, focus on the epistles? Focus on the epistles. Why? Okay. All right. We have seen that salvation was the focus of scriptures, right? Okay, let's start our Bible reading. You know, we've not really read Bible. Hebrews 1. Let's start now. Today is the study. Hebrews 1:1-3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, you see, the writer of Hebrews was saying that God, at sundry times, was speaking one thing to the fathers who received it in different portions, in different several revelations of the truth set forth in the scriptures. Now, that was how they received it. Now, who has God spoken by? Or who has God spoken in? So, if we have the Son, or if we have the Son manifested, is there something else we should be looking outside? It means everything the Father was also still conveying was what? The Son. All right, now, and you see verse 3 saying, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Meaning that there is nothing you want to find in God that you cannot find out inside Christ. So, your search of God, if he leads you outside of Christ, then the person you are looking for might be Allah. I don't know. But God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God, the Father of the new creation, God, the Father, the King who made heaven and earth and all this, if that's the God you're looking for, you must limit your search to the person of Jesus Christ. All right, so let's look at John 5:39. All that the prophets and everybody was trying to convey was Jesus. John 5. Are we there? Verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So Jesus rebuked to the Jews, and he was telling them that you are searching the scriptures diligently. You have the scriptures with you. You are searching, because you are looking for life inside of it. And this same thing you are searching is pointing you to me. But you don't want to come to me and receive the life. Rather, you think you can receive the life in the scriptures. The scripture itself do not give life. The scriptures point to one person, which is Jesus, and he's the giver of life. Okay, so let's continue reading. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So you see how boring that whole book of Moses is. Deuteronomy, everything there, Leviticus, and all the rules and regulation. And Jesus still said, Moses was writing concerning me. So the persons that are deciding to cling to Moses and the rest, this is the answer for them. Even Jesus said, all that Moses was trying to convey was me, nothing else. So you don't say Moses was trying to convey this and that, or Moses was trying to convey two things, or he was trying to convey both this and this. No, Moses was actually trying to convey one thing. In everything he said, all he was trying to portray was one person, which was Jesus. Praise God. Okay, Luke 24, verse 44. Okay, let's start from Luke 24, and let's start from 25 first. You know, this story was when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus and he met those two disciples that were talking concerning what had happened. All right, verse 25. Luke 24:25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So you see a thorough Bible study of what a Bible study should be. You can, when you open the epistles, when you open all the prophets, all that they wrote, as disguised as it was concerning
Jesus. I just wish I was there in that Bible study. Even though those people that were there, I'm sure they did not even understand as he was even telling them, maybe I would not have been different. So he was simply telling them that, see, when Isaiah said this one, he was talking about me. When Jeremiah said this thing, when Moses said this thing, even when Habakkuk said this thing, which other prophet does not, his writing is looking somehow. When Zephaniah said this thing, it was talking about me. When anybody said it, when Solomon said this, he was talking about me. Yes. When he said this, he was talking about me. Do you understand? So all scriptures were referring and talking about Jesus. No exception. All right. So that same Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So a proper understanding of the scriptures will lead you to who? So if in your understanding or if in your reading of the scriptures, by scriptures now I'm referring to the Old Testament portion, you don't see Christ in it, have you understood it? So rather than say this is wrong or this is not proper, this is just say you have not understood it yet. Praise God. Because the scriptures are supposed to lead you or portray or show you clearly Christ. Until you can see it clearly, your journey has not begun. Praise God. I was not the one that said it. Tolu is looking at me with one kind of eye. All scriptures. Hallelujah. Okay, so we continue. The whole plan of God was revealed in Christ. Everything God ever wanted to say was packaged, fully expressed in Christ. Praise God. All right, so everything God ever wanted to say to man was said in Christ. However, when he was on earth, Jesus could not fully express these things. We know that, right? Jesus could not fully teach these things. That was why he said, as much as he was talking and talking and talking, the disciples still could not comprehend what he was saying. Even after Luke 24, those people he still taught still could not even understand what he was saying. So there were two limitations to Jesus' ministry on earth, because it would be easy for somebody to say, okay, if the scriptures were talking about Jesus, then everything Jesus, you know, there are some persons that say, so long as Jesus said it, it is final. They'll now go to the Gospels and say, you see, it is written in red. Honor it. It is written in red. Should we take everything that Jesus said, hook, line, and sinker? No. Even though all scriptures was him personified, but he could not fully express himself. Two reasons. One, he was a minister under the Old Testament. We've already established the fact that the New Testament only came into existence after he died and rose again. All right, so let us look at Hebrews. Okay, we looked at Hebrews 9. Matthew 10, you see when he was even sending them, when he was telling them in Matthew 10, now go and preach. What did he tell them? Stay only within Israel. Don't go out. You will see him not being able to minister fully to other persons, because as far as he was concerned, his ministry at that time was curtailed to the just Israel there. He could not even freely minister healing to those, to any person outside Israel, except the ones who took it by force, in quotes. Praise God. So he was a minister under the New Testament. He himself said that he came under the law in order to fulfill it. So it's not as if he subjected himself to that parameters, because that was what was spoken concerning him. So because of that, he could not fully express what he should because of that limitation. Then the second limitation, even the times that he tried to, the persons he was trying to explain to could not comprehend it. No matter how much he tried, no matter how simple, I'm sure now when we read John 14, we read John 15, we read John 16, you'll be saying, is this what the disciples could not understand? Do you get that feeling sometimes when you read John, when you read the book of John, John 5, John 6, and he was talking, I'm the bread of life, eat me and this one. And you're like, why could this person not understand it? And you almost want to sound critical of this man that they were unbelievers. It's not true. No matter how simple the words, even if Jesus was to use sticks to explain, no matter how much you explain to them, they could not comprehend it. Why? They were not having the spirit. We're going to look at that. So let's just read John 16:12-15. John chapter 16. Jesus had said a lot. He had been teaching all through from all the previous chapters. He got to 16, and then he said in verse 12,
I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So even the Spirit that was going to come afterwards was still not going to reveal anything separate from Christ, because Christ is the culmination, is the fullness, is everything that God ever wanted to say. But Jesus told the disciples that, I have a lot of things to tell you, but you cannot receive it. No matter how much I try, you cannot receive it. That is why everything in the Old Testament and even in the Gospels cannot form doctrine, because these things were received by men who could not fully. Just imagine if Jesus was on earth physically and was teaching Peter, James, John, and everybody, and they could not receive it as clearly as he was talking to them face to face. Now imagine the prophets that were receiving theirs by vision, by dreams, by inspiration. Can you imagine how the difference? How do you not expect those persons to even have a perfect representation of what they were trying to say? Do you understand the limitation now? So even with Jesus physically talking face to face to unrenewed men, they could not comprehend it. Not to talk of persons that were only seeing theirs by visions that even they themselves could not understand. Praise God. So when we read the Old Testament, when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we are careful to what is actually, we have to carefully understand, because we cannot take all that they said, even all that Jesus said, hook, line, and sinker, because these were men that were under a dispensation that limited their understanding. Praise God. All right, so we are now almost done with our teaching. Okay, even if he could say things men at that time could not receive. So we have said that upon the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was given to indwell man. All right, now this is now the focus of our teaching. Why the epistles? Remember we talked about on Sunday, flowing from what we were discussing on Sunday, what Pastor taught, our spirit and our gift. The Holy Spirit in us is what caused the change that we can see that men can do these things. But even more than that, the Holy Spirit in you is what caused you or what gives you the ability to understand these things that is looking like these people were dull. 1 Corinthians 2. The long read. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's all open and read it together. Okay, are we there? And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, this was Paul talking about how he met the Corinthian church. Of course, he met them as men that were not born again, right? So in giving them the message, it was simple. In giving them the message, it was just dependent solely on the power and the wisdom of God. Praise God. Now, see what he now said in verse 6. His tone changed. How be it? We speak wisdom among them that are what? You see the difference? Even if we go to unbelievers, we are careful in our speech. We don't try to talk too much. We just try to focus gospel. But when they are now men that have the Spirit of God, when these men are perfect, we speak wisdom of God freely among them. Why? Because, okay, let's continue reading. Habit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Now, this was him quoting from the Old Testament. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of who? So you see Paul's the distinction he drew, that unbelievers cannot receive these things. Unbelievers cannot receive the wisdom of God. But you, because you have the Spirit of God, it is only the Spirit of God that can fully understand the mind of God. And now, that Spirit is in you, so you can freely understand and know all that you have. So for you now, you should not have a problem deciphering and decoding what is in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? So you should not have a problem understanding what is in the Old Testament. As much as it looks obscure, you should be someone that is able to open the Old Testament, read it, and say, ah, this was not talking about God. Rather, this was what it was talking about. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God. You can understand the mystery. Now, persons have said that Paul still had mysteries. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Let's just flow along the line. We'll get them. You know, the prophets could not understand all that they spoke. Remember when we read 1 Peter 1:10? But now we can understand it. We are men that are perfect. We are men that have the Spirit. Only such men can comprehend these things. Now, there is no more mystery. It has been revealed. You know, persons will say that Paul only expressed Paul had mysteries that he knew, that God showed him personally, but he did not share with the church. You know, it was because the church could not receive it, or that there are levels of there are levels of revelation. Not everything about what God has been saying has not yet been fully revealed. You know that people have that exactly. All right, so Ephesians 3. From verse 8, are we there? Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Did you see that? Which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So it's like Paul saying that this, who is supposed to be the custodian of the mystery of God? The manifold riches of God and wisdom of God should be made known where? In the church. So he said he received these things that he might share for all men to what? Know. Not that there are some things that are only special for some certain levels of believers. You don't just teach all believers. You have to reserve some. There are some things that God himself has kept, knowledge that God has kept within his power. You cannot know God fully. You know all those things we say. It was simply called a mystery. The reason why it was referred to, why Paul kept saying mystery, it's not as if it's mysterious. You know, Paul did not bring his revelations out from thin air. He kept referring to the Old Testament. So why did he call the Old Testament portion mystery? Because when we hear mystery, some persons might think there is one special revelation that God showed Paul by vision. It was the Old Testament portions he was calling mystery. And it was simply a mystery because they could not understand it. Whatever you cannot understand is what is the mystery. But once it is unveiled, it is no longer mysterious. So if something was covered and you open it, it ceases to be a mystery. Like all these horror movies that some people like to watch. Why is it mysterious? Or why is it a mystery? Because you just hear,
you don't know what's making the sound. You just see things shaking. You don't know what's shaking it. So there is fear. You don't fully understand. But once at the end of the movie, everybody just sees that, oh, this was the person that was causing this rubbish. Is this still a mystery? So the person, when they now see it, most of them, they're no longer afraid. They now know how to confront it. So it is something that is unknown, something that is covered, something that is hidden, something that you cannot understand, that is a mystery. Once it has been opened, it ceases to be a mystery. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah. From verse 1. Are we there? 2 Corinthians 3 from verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of recommendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, that in, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to you, to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Now he's comparing the Old Testament portion, especially the laws, to what we have now. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Now, you see Paul's distinction. He was trying to draw a comparison. Moses, in this whole thing, by Moses, of course, it meant the laws, the prophet, everything that they were reading that looked like a mystery. Moses, you don't use the physical example of Moses covering his face. Moses was, it was not as if the covering of his face was to, for so that the people could not behold the glory. It was rather to cover his face so that they won't see the glory fading, because the glory was not there permanently on his face. The thing was reducing. So if he had just left it open, the people could have seen his face by the next day. But because of that whole, Paul said that he covered his face so that the people could not see that this glory was vanishing away. Now, if that whole thing is filled with a veil, with a covering, we're trying to hide things from the people. That was the characteristics of the Old Testament. But in this time, he said, if you turn to the Lord, that means once you received salvation, that veil is what? Taken away. In this covenant, there is openness, there is plainness. He now says, seeing that we know, we are so much confident that what we have is better. He said, imagine this glory is the one that excelleth. The one we are operating under is the one that excelleth in glory. He now said, wait, because we have this hope, this assurance that what we have is better, we use what? Great plainness of speech. We speak with confidence. We speak openly and plainly. Every man that is born of the Spirit can understand what we are saying. Why? Because in this testament, the veil is what? Taken away. Do we understand? So in this covenant that we are, there is nothing God is trying to hide. Everything has been made open. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is no forbidden truth in the Bible. There's no forbidden knowledge. Everything is open for the man in Christ to fully see and comprehend. Okay, we'll continue the reading from chapter 4 again. You know, it was a continuous story. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So you see it, how Paul wrote it clearly. If our gospel is hid, the only persons that cannot understand us now when we speak are those that are not saved, are those that their minds are blinded, those that are yet to receive light. But for us, God has commanded light in our heart. Light shines in our heart and it gives us comprehensive knowledge of the person of Jesus, of God in the face of Christ Jesus. So is there anything still hidden? Everything plainly revealed. Okay, now this is the New Testament. This is our dispensation. We do not try to hide things. We do not handle the word of God deceitfully or with craftiness, trying to say, because that is where error starts coming from. When pastors feel like, you know, there are some pastors that understand, they themselves understand that their salvation cannot be lost. They know that they are eternally saved by God's grace and mercy. But they will say, we cannot teach this to the members, because if we let our members know this, they will become unruly. They will not know how to handle this knowledge. They will start committing sin. Have you heard ministers say that? So because of that, they are judging for God, who should be recipients of the truth. Whereas in this covenant, the Bible clearly says that all of us are perfect men, that the wisdom of God should be clearly taught. So you have no business now telling, you are talking to a fellow believer and you are saying this one cannot handle the truth. That mindset must not be present in you as a teacher of God and as the believer. You must see every believer as a man perfect, a man that can handle the truth, a man that can be able to fully comprehend who he is and his reality in Christ. Once you start trying to hide things, then you are handling the word of God deceitfully and with craftiness. Praise God. God hid nothing from us. Rather, he exposed everything to us by giving us his spirit. We ought to show the same courtesy to others by exposing everything as well to them. Praise God. All right. So, is the Old Testament portion now unnecessary? Everything we have just said now, are we now saying that this Old Testament portion does not have relevance anymore? Let me see the persons that understand. Sister Queen, are we saying now, Shelimaya is making you not understand the Bible. Ha. Are we now saying that the Old Testament portion is not necessary? Or what can you get as a summary from all we have said about the Old Testament? Okay. Praise God. All right. The Old Testament portion is necessary. It is important to the extent to which you can fully receive revelation of what God is in Christ. So it is not that persons will say, in the Old Testament, this was the way God was. It now changed in the New Testament. I remember when somebody said that, why God is now too merciful. Those, how can somebody come to the house of God and steal? If you are trying this in the Old Testament, you don't die on the spot. Pah! That God that is now slow, is now a God of mercy. Before, God is a God of judgment. See, God is also a consuming fire. You know when you have that notion that God is just... It is not like there's one God separate here, another God separate here. So until you can show fully who God is in that Old Testament portion, till then, what should you do? I did not say fashion. Stop it now. You will keep reading it until you see it. Yes. But don't teach anything there that why have we been going all this through this distance? You have the Spirit of God. You can fully understand what is written there. The apostles were not bringing out doctrines from thin air. They were bringing it out from these same scriptures. Now, this is not the purpose. Why is the epistles? Why do we tell believers focus on the epistles? Because the epistles are already explanations of the Old Testament portions, already revealed truths of some parts there. So in the epistles, it's already expressly written. This thing here, this is what it's trying to say. So when you now come to the epistles, you don't need to now start trying to judge again. That this, no, right now in the epistles, it is written clearly. Praise God. It is written clearly. It is written what? Clearly. Why? Because men as you are, men that have the Spirit of God were the ones that wrote it. Men that could understand what God was actually trying to say and men that could effectively convey same are the ones that wrote the epistles. That is why we can trust it for doctrine. Praise God. So those men, where did they get it from? The Old Testament portions. Where will you get your own from? Why do we pray that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened? Why do we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him? Why? Do you understand? So you don't know, because I know when we pray this prayer, I will just pray that a normal prayer. You pray the prayer like Pastor was telling me last week. He said you pray this prayer studying. You don't just pray the prayer and then you are praying. The revelation will not jump on you. You pray it studying. So as you finish praying, whether you pray for one full day, at the end of the day, what are you supposed to do? Pick up your Bible. Revelation will not jump on you. So you pick up the Bible, and as you're picking the Bible, you are reading it and you are studying, and then you understand what it said. Why did Paul keep praying that your eyes should be open? Well, so they could see these things. So in the Old Testament, it is there. All right, let's see one example. Isaiah 45. I think that was what, that, let me see how many persons are here. Isaiah 45. Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles. Okay, from verse 6, are we there? That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me, I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Is it not in the Bible? Is there, Abby? So how do we, should we throw it away and say this thing is not correct? What do we do? Okay, now in the old, you know this scripture has been explained in this church, right? Can you remember? Pastor explained this scripture in one teaching where we are still in Argos. So today I'm going to give the microphone and pass it around until that explanation comes forth. Praise the Lord. To save us, if you can remember the explanation, can I see your hand? Just one person can just save everybody now, we go on. Otherwise, it will be obvious that you put on direct notes, you don't read your notes, and you have no regard for pastor's teaching, and I will ensure he hears. Okay, Isaiah 45, verse 7. Explanation. Okay. Bookie, what was that explanation? It's empty. That's the issue. What's one person say? Whether it's correct or wrong, all of your followers say it's empty. But this is when you're in church that day. You're not in church that day. Like to cut something down. So I the Lord, I form life and I cut down evil. I the Lord do all these things. But why would you want to search these things out? Because when you read it, you say, no, this is not compatible with the character of God that is explained in Christ. So it has to have a different meaning. So you don't go to the, you read the Old Testament portions carefully. Very, very carefully. Because if you say, Because that's the mistake many persons made. Is it not in the Bible? So because of that, you just carry. This is in the Bible, and then you just carry. First of all, this Bible, that's where we started from. The whole scripture was conveying one message. And that message that God was conveying could be expressly seen where? In Christ. So if it is not in Christ, it means it is not what a message that God was what? Conveying. Abi? If it's not in Christ, do you understand what I'm trying to say? If it was not, if it cannot be found in Christ, it means that it was not a message that God was conveying. Now, okay, look at 1 Samuel. Let's look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 16. This one was also another funny one. 1 Samuel 16, verse 4, verse 14. Are we there? 1 Samuel 16, 14. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So the Lord is both the custodian of the Holy Ghost and evil spirits. If I see another prophet that said, I saw a lying spirit from the Lord enter into this prophet to give you a false report. So you'll not be wondering. So the Lord dispatches evil spirits as well to do his bidding. He does, he dispatches, if you are good, he sends you a good spirit. Once you start committing sin, he takes that good spirit and sends you an evil one. That's, you know, he's the one that is just rolling out all the dice. That is the, if you want to read the Old Testament as it is there, that is what you will get. All right, another funny one, Amos 3. Let me see how long it takes. You are deciding where Amos is. Amos. No, there's no interpretation here. We're just reading. Amos 3. Yes, people are still turning their Bibles. Glory to God. Where is Amos? Where? That, I know it's Amos 3:3. See, that's because that's the scripture you use for a relationship. That's, you just go straight to Amos. Did I say Amos 3:3? Amos 3 verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord has not done it? So the prophet was that, is it possible that evil will be in the land and the Lord was not the one that did it? You know the question. So how will you answer him? Do you understand? So you see that the Old Testament prophets, they were still searching. Even they were not fully understanding what they were saying. As far as they were concerned, they were dealing with a mirage. They were dealing with something that was not clear, was not visible. Even Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time. How do you try to explain something you have not seen? Even the persons that saw him did not even believe that that was God. So the prophets, you could not say, okay, no, so long as it's in the Bible, we must take it. We must take it. Take it. Take it like that. Take it like that. Take it like that. The defenders of the Bible, that the Bible is the word of God. So God himself is telling you that he does evil in the land. There are so many portions in the entire Old Testament. You'll just be seeing scraps and scraps and scraps. I, the Lord, I will tear down your vine. I will take away. I will put sicknesses. I will rebuke this one. I will devour you. I will cut down your plants. You know, all those kind of terror God. And everybody was just like, everybody was shaking. All right, let's look at James. Let us see James, our brother James. James explained. James was one of the apostles that gave us the clearest picture of God. I'm not joking. He gave us a very, very clear picture. All right, James 1:17. From verse 16. Do not err, my beloved. Do not err, my beloved, what? Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means James is telling us that in God, there's no, you know, like that's what we, that's the, if without this mindset of who God is, that's the way we see God. Someone that has mood swings, someone who cannot fully understand. You don't know how he's going to relate it to you. You might be in a good mood now. Tomorrow, you might just, You don't know. So once he's, that's why you have to praise him very well to calm him down. So when you praise, you calm him down. Then you just quickly ask what you want to ask and run away. Then when you're coming again, you better start doing another set of praises to cool him again. And as you are away, ensure that you are well behaved. And if you know you are not well behaved, as you are coming, just be asking for forgiveness. Jeje. There is something that makes me run into your presence. My helper. Because it's only when you need help. You know you cannot avoid him. You know, because you just try to stay away from God as much as you can. Then when you can no longer avoid it, there's actually something that is making me come here. It's just because you're my helper, Sha. Anyway, Lord, today again I've come. Oh Lord, you now sing. But James said, in God there is no variableness. It's not like this or like that. That's why Paul said that God is not yes and no. He will not be giving you yes and no at the same time. That's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ revealed in Christ. Everything is what? Yes. All right, so it's the same brother James. James chapter 3. Chapter 3 from verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. Talking about God, the tongue, which are made after the similitude of God. Then see what he said. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter water? Did you say yes, Joshua? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Can the vine bear figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water? Saying that one thing cannot produce two different things at the same time. So if God, he has already settled that God is the Father of light, it means where can darkness now come from? Can God also be, since God, James has told you clearly that God is the Father of light and in him is only every good gift and perfect gift come from him. Can that same fountain also send forth good and bad? So do you understand? So when you understand the character of God fully, that this is who God is, this is his default. When you now come to the epistles, it tells you clearly who God is. But when you come to, so when you have this understanding and you go to the Old Testament and you are seeing all these things, what is your default response? This cannot be. It needs further. Do you understand? So because of where you've gotten clarity here, you can now say, this one should be explained. This one needs explanation. This one needs more study. So the epistles, you go to the epistles, it forms your mindset. It forms in you first a knowledge of who God is to you. And with that knowledge and basis, you go back to the same Old Testament and read it and understand it. Because you are the one that actually can. Praise the Lord. So we are not to throw away the Old Testament portions. For example, we are talking about how to minister to witnesses now. And we know that at least the Old Testament portion of their Bible is almost the same. Abi? So what should you now be your focus? What will be your focus? From that same scripture to show to him that Jesus is the Christ. So how will you do that when you run away from the Old Testament? How will you do that when you don't know where Zephaniah is and anything at all? One verse in Zephaniah you can't remember. You have not read Old Testament this year. Brethren, these things ought not to be. You cannot be scared of the Old Testament. You have the Spirit of God. So you have this. That's the purpose. Why the epistles? The epistles should form a bedrock for your understanding with which you have to go back and also study. So when you come to the epistles, you stay with the epistles. Stay with it. Let it ensure. So that's why we tell believers that are still trying to understand who God is. You don't now throw the Old Testament to them and say no. No. Rather, go to the epistles. This one was written by men that have the Spirit of God, to men like you that can understand it. Stay with these epistles. Understand it fully. And with the knowledge you received there, go out and understand that same Old Testament. So you don't throw the Old Testament portion of your Bible. You stay with it until you can fully understand every verse speaking about Christ. Until you do that, see why you cannot stop praying Ephesians 1? You see why we have not prayed Ephesians 1 enough? You know, so persons that say, is there the only thing we pray? Why do we always keep praying that the eyes of understanding be open? Yeah, when you tell me that, I'm just going to open, I will just open one Old Testament portion for you and say, okay, explain this to me. When you can fully explain it in the light of Christ, I say, I'll give you another one. When you explain from Genesis 1 to Malachi 3 and explain fully, say, yes, that was the Christ, the risen God. Praise the Lord. 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 So we must bring out the word of Christ from every portion of the scripture. The epistles are just like an expo. You know, when they've given you worked out examples that this is how it is, this is how it is, this is how it is. They've given you a format, a pattern. I did not say you should not go write your own epistles. Do your study. Write it there in your book. Don't worry. It will help fellow believers. It cannot enter here anymore. But ensure, what is our test? We open it. We cannot see Christ inside it. Bam, bam. Immediately, we just give you F. Just cut it down. And God help you. The day I try to say, okay, let us do a study together. And then you bring, like somebody that was telling me that God was the one that wanted to kill Hezekiah. Somebody said that as recently as on Sunday, that it was God that wanted to kill Hezekiah. And God told Hezekiah that I will kill you now. Get ready. And then God, the same God that told Hezekiah that don't worry, I will kill you again. 15 years. In fact, I even heard the pastor preach that Hezekiah should have just died, JJ. That's where God just told you that he wanted to kill Hezekiah, should have just died, because it was that in that 15 years, Hezekiah never went to give birth to a son, Esau, that scattered the kingdom. And Esau was born within that 15 years that this person, if he had died, that God saw the thing ahead that I wanted to just kill him, so I will not go and produce Esau. So those plenty exigencies we do. Stay. That's why, because we cannot trust believers yet that they should can fully bring out your dead. Stay with the episodes. We just bring them. Because we are not sure of what they will go and bring from the Old Testament. We just tell them, stay here. Just stay with them. You are safe here. Just stay the episodes. You are safe. That but you are men that can be trusted with the knowledge. Paul did nothing except pray in tongues and study. There was nothing else he did. Tongues and study. There was nothing else he did though. Abi, he didn't do anything else. He spoke in tongues in volume. This prayer that he was praying for all of them, he prayed it times, how many times, for his own self. And his eyes were open and he saw. And then he was able to tell you that does God care about ox? That shall not muzzle the ox that treaded the corn. He said, you pray talk to your God was talking about the oxen. And you won't concern God and ox. He was talking about his servants, that the person comes to preach, like as I'm preaching, that the person preaching should also be watered. And as the person has finished preaching, you give the person of your physical things. Praise the Lord. That's what Paul was saying. That's what he said God was talking about. So that is all. That is it. So when you go to the Old Testament, they are seeing that should not wear cotton and linen. That should not do this one. You now come and say, God does not care about material. This is what he was trying to say. Praise God. Do you understand? There are people that say, people that don't wear earrings and don't wear gold, they've brought it out from there. So men and brethren, God trusts you. That by the Spirit in you, you can bring forth the truth he was trying to reveal. Is it necessary? Yes. It's still necessary. It was God actually speaking to us. Is it necessary for you to search it out? Yes. Search it out. But ensure you have soaked yourself. Where? Soak yourself, Soak it. That's how you do it. Soak it. We can only tell persons that, okay, with the knowledge that you have, I cannot overemphasize it enough. Once you read anything elsewhere that expressly contradicts what is in the epistles, which one has the higher weight? So even though they are in the same Bible, you drop it and pick the epistles. until you can fully understand how it corresponds. Praise God. So, are we going to be dutiful in our study? Are we going to go back to those places where we have abandoned? Praise the Lord. So the epistles are the bedrock of our doctrine and the other scriptures to the extent that we can reveal God in Christ in them. That's the summary of everything I've been saying. Why the epistles? Yes, these are explanations of the scriptures by men with the Spirit. So us fellow men that have the Spirit, we can understand the things that were a mystery to them. In Christ, there is no mystery. In Christ, there is no mystery. So don't anybody tells you that God is mysterious. God is hard to be understood. Just tell them, calm down. I will explain it to you. Praise God. Why can we boldly say that? Because in this covenant, nothing is hidden. In Christ, everything is fully. So can we just get into praying tongues? We are done. Let's just commit ourselves again to study, that our eyes will see. We are men that can fully understand.